Your host, Ben Korn.
When I grow up, I wanna be a rock star.
And Chris Walter.
I'm worried I didn't put on deodorant today.
And now, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Today.
When I grow up, I wanna be a rock star.
It's really hot, like I'm gonna sweat a lot.
My back sweat has gotten pretty intense.
Okay, we can compare smells later.
Fantasy Baseball Weekly, thank you so much for joining us on a Saturday afternoon on a birthday weekend.
Yes.
For Benny Korn.
Yes, the birthday, July birthdays just rolls on here.
Even though it's August 1st when we record this,
it's still a celebration. Because we can't celebrate on the weekday. We got to rock and roll on the weekend.
This isn't Jared's birthday. This isn't producer Rick's birthday.
Nope.
This is Benny Korn's birthday.
Yeah. So what do we got in store?
And Mark Bronstein's birthday.
There you go, Big Mark. What's on the docket for today?
So, thinking about growing some fungi on my legs.
Okay. Wow. Do you blow them out like birthday candles?
I do. Well, we'll talk about what Justin Turner did later.
Oh, getting raunchy. Maybe some pus involved.
But there might be some pus. But some people say I'm pussing out on Yordano Ventura. We'll get to that in this show.
Yeah, we should get to that right now.
Hey, do we need to talk about it now?
Yeah, we do. Because somebody is playing somebody else in fantasy baseball, me versus Ben,
yep,
right now.
I'm into it.
And your trademark pick of the year, your favorite player of all time, Yordano Ventura,
yep,
is pitching right now as we speak.
We do have it on in the background to this episode.
And yet, let's pull up your roster in your lineup. He's benched. He's not playing for you, even though he's the best player of all time.
You know, you got to make decisions. You know, I'm an impartial jury. You know, if Steve Nash was going up against the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto, I probably would bench Steve Nash too.
What?
You know, that's
Canadian crime.
I know. That's why it's very difficult for me to bench him in that situation. But because I'm a great manager, I'm not Boston Red Sox manager. You know, I'm a good manager.
I just want to point out you're a lying manager.
Oh, shit. Well, we might have to continue this.
All right. Well, let's move on to the fun baseball.
Yeah, so anyways, there's a lot of excitement. Some people say that baseball is back. You know, there's a lot of trades that are getting people excited.
Who said baseball's gone?
I did. Well, I think last episode.
Whoever it is, I'm going to take them out back and work them one over.
With a belt.
Sure. Belt, hammer, machete, I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see the Mets game? A couple days ago, right before the trade deadline, that
whoa, don't go into the news yet, bro.
No, this is just. I just want to chat here. This is a fun story.
You just want to chat?
Yeah.
All right.
It's chit chat.
All right. Well, I'm down to chat. That's fine.
So basically, mid game, the Mets traded Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores to Milwaukee for Carlos Gomez. Now, the manager hadn't been consulted, and it just kind of happened through Twitter, through social media, that everybody in the stadium knew about it. And word got down to Wilmer Flores that he had been traded, his one and only team, the New York Mets. And Wilmer got a little emotional.
I mean, I would too, and everybody in the building knows that you're done except
for
you.
They were chanting for him, like, goodbye,
but,
Wilmer.
I mean, the only flaw to this story is that you're telling me that every person in that stadium is checking to see if Wilmer Flores is traded.
It was more because they knew they got Carlos Gomez, yeah, which they got excited about. But yeah, Wilmer was basically bawling his eyes out
while he was
field,
trying to bat.
Even though there's no crying in baseball, Tom Hanks.
League of their own.
But I guess my favorite is now he's kind of a Met fan favorite because, long story short, that trade fell through.
Because the Mets suck.
They got somebody, but they do suck. But then Wilmer hits a walk-off home run last night. Like, he cannot be traded now.
He's been rejuvenated.
He is the Mets' favorite player now.
The Mets may win the World Series now with Wilmer Flores as the MVP.
Maybe. They got a chance.
That's almost as good as my story last week of Billy Hamilton getting his gum.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So it's little idiosyncrasies of
baseball.
It's
the little things in baseball that make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What else happened in baseball here this week, Ben?
I mean, the only thing I know about is that skin infection that I kind of mentioned earlier. That was disgusting.
Yeah, that was really nasty. I've never heard of a guy hitting the DL with a skin infection, actually.
Yeah, we'll let Sarah Koop dive into that a little bit further.
Right. Actually, I have similar case where I actually had some ingrown hairs on my old ball sack.
Okay, so Troy Tulowitzki got traded.
Oh, okay.
We talked a little bit about Johnny Cueto.
Moving on, fine.
David Price found a new home. Mm-hmm. Yoenis Cespedes found a new home.
And the Red Sox continue to be pathetic. Their only trade was to give cash for a relief pitcher with an over 10 ERA. Way to go, Red Sox.
I mean, that's a pretty good trade. Yeah. I think it'll pay off in the end. So we'll get into all the different trades in this episode. It's basically a trade only episode. This is all about the trades. Except we'll have some friends coming in to talk 30 seconds with a homer. We might have a White Sox fan in the house.
Ooh.
We got the Scoop giving us the entertainment news to talk about Hector Oliveira and what he's been up to. He's being a little Gronk-like.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have another classroom.
Ah.
Yeah, I heard it was quite the classroom with Robert and Melissa.
It was. I at least prepared a lesson this time, so hopefully I can keep those wild cards on track.
So it's going to be a busy episode. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Fantasy Baseball Weekly, and it's time for the news.
Are you guys ready for the news with Chris Welter? Well, here it is. Take it away, Chris.
All right, let's roll into the news here, Benny Korn. And just a disclaimer, we're going to go over the major trades a little bit later, so we'll cover the minor trades right now.
So let's get to the really non-important news right now.
It's a little bit important.
I'll begin with the Blue Jays trading Felix DuBront to the A's for cash considerations.
They're considering giving cash back. The Cubs traded Junior Lake to the Orioles for Tommy Hunter.
I like Junior Lake.
Yeah, it's not a bad trade.
A's trade Ryan Cook to the Red Sox for a player maybe later.
The A's also traded relief pitcher Tyler Clippard and cash to the Mets for Casey Meisner.
You know, I like this Tyler Clippard for the Mets. I think he'll be a nice addition.
Yeah, no, it could work well. They've had a tough bullpen this season, particularly with Jerry Mejia going back, or he got suspended again for steroids.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Literally, he pitched 7 games, and you already did steroids again. You have a very low IQ, my man, Mejia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they need a bullpen help, and they got it.
Padres, with their one and only trade Abraham Almonte to the Indians for Mark. You have a last name I don't want to pronounce.
The Mariners made a slew of moves. First off, they traded J.A. Happ to the Pirates for Adrian Sampson. They also traded Mark Lowe to the Toronto Blue Jays, who just got blown up, by the way.
And he's on my fantasy team, going against you. You're welcome, Chris.
Good for me. They traded Mark Lowe for Rob Rasmussen, Jacob Brunson, and Nick Wells. They're all...
Let's just say they traded him for some people.
For some dudes that I cannot pronounce.
And Dustin Ackley also traded by the Mariners to the Yankees for Jose Ramirez and Ramon Flores. Ackley might be a sneaky addition to the Yankee team if he can play in the lights.
Yeah, I like that move for the Yankees. He'll probably be more of a bench player, though. The Marlins made one of the bigger trades, or they made a number of the bigger trades here. They traded Dan Heron in cash to the Cubs for a bunch of guys that I can't pronounce. We'll continue that theme. They also traded away Matt Latos, who was finally starting to play good, and Michael Morse to the Dodgers for Victor Araujo, Jeff Brigham, and Kevin Guzman.
Sam, basically, I leave you with those names because I'm not.
Somehow I keep getting the tough names. Basically, they traded a bunch of good players for nothing. Way to go, Marlins! You did it again.
Yeah, Matt Latos would be a nice addition to the Dodgers. Michael Morse eventually made a move over to the Pirates, which I don't think I have in this list. The Tampa Bay Rays traded Kevin Jepsen to the Twins for Chiwihu and Alexis Tapia.
You finally got some tough names. There we go.
That's another guy, Kevin Jepsen. I have him on my fantasy team. He's been quite amazing as a relief pitcher. This might be a big play for Jepsen owners as he may get more holds now with the Minnesota Twins, maybe even some save opportunities.
The Atlanta Braves got ripped off almost worse than the Marlins did when they gave away Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, Luis Avion, and Jose Peraza.
And Bronson Roy.
The list goes on and on. And cash to the Dodgers for 31-year-old, I've never played in the majors, Hector Oliveira. Also relief pitcher Paco Rodriguez and Zach Bird. Seriously, what are the Dodgers doing that they keep ripping these teams off? This is a terrible trade.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers just take on a bunch of money. So basically, the Braves got Hector Oliveira, who signed a $62.5 million contract. but a lot of that was in bonus money that the Dodgers paid. So the Braves get this, you know, Cuban that was paid a ton of money, and they don't actually have to pay him a ton of money.
He is tearing it up in AAA, but yeah, wow, just he's 31. What are you even going to get out of that?
But at the end of the day, Alex Wood, Jim Johnson, Luis Severian, all these guys are kind of at one point in their careers top-notch pitchers, so it's like
Alex Wood's still young and promising. Jose Peraza, top 30 prospect at second base.
And Bronson Arroyo was on the 2004 Red Sox team that won the World Series, so I mean, he's got some potential.
There you go.
Cleveland Indians traded Brandon Moss to the Cardinals for Rob Kaminsky. I guess Rob Kaminsky is a pretty solid young talent, as the Cardinals felt like they gave too much away for Brandon Moss in the wake of the Matt Holliday injury.
I agree. I would have kept Kaminsky.
The Indians also traded David Murphy to the Angels for Eric Stamets, and I think the Angels won that trade. So the Indians may be taking a step back with some of these trades.
The Reds traded Mike Leake to the Giants for first baseman Adam Duvall and relief pitcher Kerry Mia.
And I hear the Giants now might make a push for the World Series.
Yeah. We were talking about this off air. A very funny segment on MLB Network where the question was, does Mike Leake make the San Francisco Giants World Series contenders? It's like, no.
Maybe.
They've won 3 out of the last 5 years. They're contenders, all right? They don't need Mike Leake.
They got Buster Posey. Exactly. That's all that matters.
Mad bum.
Boston Red Sox also traded Shane Victorino for Josh Rutledge. I'm a Josh Rutledge fan, but
sure.
I mean, whatever. Josh Rutledge will help with PD being down.
I said, too many outfielders and not enough infielders, so the Red Sox sort of help balance that out.
Yeah. And move to the DL. This is a kind of a long list. Matt Harrison, who's now a Philly. Devin Travis, a Blue Jay. Corey Dickerson, the big dick, on the Rockies. He's
his little blue pill went missing, yeah, and he's no longer erect.
That's sad. AJ Burnett for the Pirates just went down. CJ Wilson on the Angels, that's kind of a big one. Tim Hudson for the Giants. Michael Pineda for the Yankees. The Yankees pitching staff is starting to look a little dire with this Blue Jays.
They just acquired somebody, though, didn't they?
The only thing I saw was Ackley. They get a pitcher as well?
I thought they got a pitcher. Maybe I'm mistaken. Too many trades here.
We'll do some research on it. Clay Buchholz transferred to the 60-day DL from the 15-day DL. So luckily, Chris won't be bringing up Clay Buchholz anymore.
And I apologize to my good friend Robert, because Matt Holliday is back on the DL less than a week after coming off.
Yeah, you'll hear in the classroom segment that Robert was not too happy about that. And who's back, Chris?
Well, we have a number of players. Travis d'Arnaud of the Mets, the catcher, he's back and hitting well. Aaron Harang of the Phillies, so clearly the Phillies are about to make a big push. Jaime Garcia.
Too many good jokes.
Jaime Garcia is back for the Cardinals. Ryan Zimmerman is back playing first base for the Nationals, so he'll be joining Matt Holliday here in a week. I'm pretty sure that's Jason Worth.
Yeah, it might
be. The Nationals is back playing right field for and Jed Lowry is back for the Strohs, interestingly enough, playing third base. And I like Jed Lowry, particularly when we talked about a couple weeks ago how shallow shortstop is. Jed Lowry could be a decent little pickup.
I mean, he had a strong beginning of the season and then went to the DL, and that's why Carlos Correa had to come up.
Right. And you're not moving Correa at this point. So, no. Jed Lowry played third base. Doubles machine, on-base machine. I think he could help you out.
Before we end the news, Chris, what's one thing you took from the trade deadline?
Just how pathetic the Red Sox are. You know, they signed these big names, Pablo and Hanley. And within a half of the season, they realize it's a big mistake. And then they also realize they can get nothing for those players. They are so bad, they have no value. Because they tried to trade Pablo. I know they teased Hanley. I don't think they admitted it, but they teased Hanley out there and got no responses from any team. So the Red Sox are bad, and so is their management.
That's very sad.
How about yourself? You got a takeaway here? A lot happened.
The San Diego Padres kind of let me down. I mean, similar situation to the Red Sox. Loaded up in the offseason. Nothing paid off. They wanted to unload some guys. They could at least get some money back that they spent. And just sat there, and nobody wanted their guys. You know, they were all out on the trading deadline, and nobody picked them up.
Hanging on the trade deadline. Yeah, I agree. Justin Upton was the one I really thought would get moved He's an expiring contract. The Padres are going nowhere. And he's a middle-of-the-order bat. So there's teams. He could help a team, but he just didn't get moved.
And that's the news.
Boom.
I'm in need of some insight with producer Rick.
Let me tell you about my new favorite player. This kid has 14 runs in the last 2 weeks. He's batting almost .400 over that time. And four stolen bases. I'm talking about Adam Eaton. Not the former MLB pitcher, even though he has received six checks worth $20,000 each for having the same name and profession.
You kidding me?
The former Diamondback has found a home with the White Sox and looks to continue his dominance for the rest of the season. I know what I'm having to eat. Just eat it.
Hey guys, it's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
So continuing along here, we've got Blockbuster Trades Part 1. And in this Part 1, we'll talk about my favorite team, the Houston Astros.
Are we rolling right now?
We are rolling right now.
Gotcha. Sorry.
But where are you?
I'm halfway through my beer. That's where I am, Ben.
So the Houston Astros, supposedly almost had Cole Hamels. Did you hear that rumor?
Yeah. Interesting move, and really just more says about what the hell is Cole Hamels thinking. He had a no-trade clause, so he got to choose where he could go. He did not want to go to the Houston Astros, and who are in first place, and chose to go to the Rangers, who are not making the playoffs. So very odd personal decision there by Cole Hamels. Both are in Texas. Like, what's
right.
the difference?
What's the difference between Houston and Texas?
I don't know.
You know, Houston has a better team this year. Houston will still have a good team next year.
They will be better for years to come.
Yeah, well, Carlos Gomez, still plenty of time. Carlos Gomez has like 3 years on his contract. Mm-hmm. It's not like this is a, you know, we're bringing in Gomez for a day and then letting him go, you know. Speaking of Carlos Gomez, he did go to the Houston Astros from the Brewers. Having a tough year, but what does Gomez bring to the table for this team?
Look, he's a guy that strikes out a lot, but he can give you power and speed and kind of great average. Now, what was revealed in the Mets trade that fell apart was that Gomez has a bad hip.
But was it revealed? Because then everybody debunked that being revealed.
I was going to say, I had never heard that.
Yeah.
So
that was just the Mets trying to get out of it, I think.
I'm really not sure, but it would be an explanation as to why Gomez is having such a down year.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, you know, what does that mean for this season? I don't know. I wouldn't expect Gomez to blow up anytime soon, but he's a middle-of-the-order bat, and he's a nice upgrade for Houston.
Well, I just like the speed that Houston has now with Correa, with Gomez, Altuve. I mean, all these guys both have power, speed.
When Springer comes back, he's a speed
Springer
guy. Yeah.
Bleeding off. I mean, the combination of Springer, Gomez, Altuve, and Correa. And then you've got some big bats just sitting there in the 5-6 hole to knock them all in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty powerful team. You throw in the other guy they picked up, Scott Kazmir. I've been a big Scott Kazmir fan for a long time.
Yeah. No, he's pitching like a stud or an ace this year. So, no, I love Houston. I love what they did. And they had the minor league system to do this. They could get rid of some players.
And just an update, Chris. Greg Holland got the save against the Blue Jays today.
Did. All right. So well, our battle continues.
Our battle continues. I get the save, you get the hold, and this thing becomes very tight.
All right, Clayton, it's time to blow up for me.
And another guy that I had as my save guy, in addition to Holland, is Joaquin Soria. You know, he got traded to the Pirates. This is really scary for me because he, you know, with the Tigers, he was killing. You know, and then all of a sudden he gets traded to the Pirates. They've got your favorite player, Mark Melancon, closing games for him. So it's not like they need him to close. I guess he might get holds now?
Yeah, so of all the traded players, I'd say Soria received the biggest downgrade in value. He goes from a top-tier closer to, yeah, he's going to share the setup role with Tony Watson. So he's not even the main setup guy. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out. But if you're in a league without holds, Soria's droppable, unfortunately. He is immediately droppable. So, yeah, tough news for Soria owners.
I mean, for all of Melanson's inability to throw the pitches, he's doing quite well.
Look, I got to give one
he's
more.
He's pretty durable, so I don't see him disappearing.
One
from
more shout out to Juice.
Oh, shouty Juice.
Yes, I ripped Mark Melancon in the beginning of the year saying his velocity's down and this isn't going to work out. Sean Judice texted me with some pretty aggressive language about how wrong I was.
Oh, wow.
And here he is. I'm fairly certain Mark Melanson has the most saves in the majors.
Correct.
So he's doing it somehow. Velocity is still down, I'll point out, but he's still doing it.
Well, we were just talking about that with with the Red Sox, and you know, they've got their boy that throws 100 miles an hour.
Joe Kelly, yep.
Yep, Joey Kelly. And can't seem to keep people from hitting home runs on him. So there's something to be said for, you know, limiting some velocity, pulling like a Greg Maddux in his older years, and yet finding a way to still get people to swing at some pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, well, we could dive real deep into velocity, but yeah, Felix Hernandez is a good case where his velocity has dropped every year for the past 4, 5, 6 years, kind of a lot too, like multiple miles per hour, and yet he's still dominant, he's still great, because ultimately it's you know, speed or high velocity helps on your fastball, but it's more about the difference between your fastball and your off-speed pitches. So as long as you can throw your off-speed pitches slower to offset your loss in fastball velocity, you're going to be fine.
Right, just keep the difference between fastball and changeup 7 miles per hour.
Exactly,
or
yeah.
Looking at those four guys, we talked about Carlos Gomez going to the Astros. We talked about Scott Kazmir going to the Astros, Cole Hamels going to the Rangers, and Soria going to the Pirates. Who is going to jump in value? Who's going to decrease in value? Are they all going to stay about the same? I mean, Soria is definitely decreasing.
No, there's some big changes here. Carlos Gomez, major upgrade. Scott Kazmir, major upgrade just for win potential. Carlos Gomez going back to him, just a better lineup, so he should do well. Cole Hamels, I would say, I know people want to say, oh, he'll get more wins in Texas. I think it's a major downgrade. It's a very hitter-friendly ballpark, especially in the summer. It gets hot in Arlington. The ball flies. Also, you know, he's in the AL now, so he's not going to have the benefit of facing the pitcher. And a third reason we could keep piling on here, the NL East is by far the worst hitting division.
Yep.
So he goes from the worst hitting division to one of the better hitting divisions. I think he's going to, you know, he might get more wins, but his ERA and WHIP are going to go up from this.
And yeah, I was thinking it was an upgrade, but you've now swayed me with those.
You can go both ways with your argument. That's just my opinion, that it's a downgrade for Hamels. And we talked about Soria.
Another reason why did Hamels want to go to the Rangers?
Man, I don't know. Yeah, no idea.
Sarah Koop with the scoop.
Let's keep with the trade theme by starting with our friend Hector Oliveira. Oliveira signed a $62.5 million contract with the Dodgers, including a massive signing bonus. What would the average Cuban do with that kind of money? Well, buy a $60,000 party bus on wheels, and since he was traded to the Braves, what a better way to hit Buckhead in style. Gronk, your move. What about our friend of the show, Justin Turner? He had a hospital scare this week. It started with a simple pimple on his leg and turned into a gross meteor on his leg.
No, but the doc said it was an ingrown hair.
Medicine couldn't stop the fungus from taking over, so he went to the emergency room for treatment. Looks like Justin Turner's beard can only do so much for hygiene.
It's a good beard. Soothing cream helped really well.
Comb that beard, I'm telling you. Let's finish with my favorite devout Christian virgin, Tim Tebow. He was treated to a nice dinner out at Mr. Chow's in Beverly Hills by superfans from Florida. Tim and his crew were eating when a mother and her daughter came up to the table. Proved they were superfans by showing the Florida Gator iPhone case.
I only support Android.
They had a jolly discussion and ended up throwing down their card for Tebow and his crew's meal that night. Talk about making an impression. I think the daughter was single. That's it with Coop. That's it with the scoop. I'm Sarah Coop.
This is producer Rick, and you're listening to Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Class, welcome. The AC is broken. It's going to be hot. Today, back by popular demand, just like last week, we're back in the classroom, but we're going to go over a couple things before you start rocking off your questions. We're going to talk about the connection between K rates and average. All right,
yeah, Chris, can I ask a question?
Robert, I literally hired a security guard to keep you out of here today. How are you here?
Chris, Matt Holliday is hurt again.
Yeah, no, we went over, look, All right, I don't really have time.
Come on, Chris!
All right, just save your questions to the end, Robert, and keep it in your pants.
Okay.
Keep it in your pants. We're going to go over batter's K percentage and how it relates to average. Putting the ball in play gives you your BABIP's chance of getting a hit, while striking out gives you 0% chance of getting a hit. This means batter with a high K percentage will likely have lower averages. To give you an example, of the 30 batters with the worst K percentage in the league, 25 of those 30 are below 260. And of the 5 players that are not below 260 in that group, they all have higher BABIPs than 340, which means they are very lucky. Just trying to tell you how high K percentages are very poor for your average. All right, let's open up the class. 2 questions. We're going to go anywhere but Robert.
Yes. I'm Bonnie.
Oh.
That sounds like an algebra equation to me. I'm not understanding it, but I was wondering. I come from a time with Barry Bonds and Bo Jackson. Okay. What's been going on with baseball recently?
Wow, did Robert write that question? Or that is... Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter. A lot's been going on in baseball.
I do!
Nope. Let's keep it Robert-free today.
Chris, it's all our friends!
I'm schwitzing in the classroom right now. It's very hot.
I think that's Jewish for sweating. I'm not sure. In general, there's been a lot less home runs and a lot better pitching. All right? We're going to move on from the Bo Jackson question from the 1980s.
Chris, I have a question, actually.
Hi. What's your name?
We'll go with Matt.
Oh, okay.
Matt works. Yeah. Do we need last names?
I don't know.
No, we're all friends here. Taiwan Walker. I hear you're a fan. Real deal. 5th starter. What are we talking here? Little Brian Taylor? Are we talking Felix Hernandez? Like, where are we going with this? Where's his career headed?
Thank you, Matt, for entering the classroom. This is a breath of fresh air. Yes, Taiwan Walker had a complete game shutout just last night, and it was impressive. As any rookie, I think he'll have his ups and downs, but he will be... It's tough to say he'll be an ace, but he is a number 2 pitcher for the rest of the season, and good chance that he will be number 2 or better for the rest of his career.
Hi.
Hi. What's
Melissa.
Your name?
Melissa. Melissa.
Oh, hello. Hi.
I'm actually a lady.
Right. That's what I said.
So.
Clearly. That's what I said.
I know you don't like it when I'm here in the classroom, but I'm really like, I care about baseball. And so I've been trying to get into daily fantasy baseball. And so like, I just have a lot of questions about daily fantasy baseball.
Okay, well, you can get to that question.
Okay, so my question is, so I made like $400 last night because I bet...
What?
I bet on the guys that were really attractive. So I bet on, you know, myself, because I'm really attractive.
What was attractive about them? Pecs? Abs?
I mean,
hair?
I like a beard.
Oh.
So I bet on Mike Napoli... I think there was a guy named, like, Clayton Kershaw, and he had some stubble, and I thought that was really cool, and they all worked, and I made a lot of money. Recommend me continuing to bet in this way?
The answer is absolutely and always.
Okay.
You know, we are a big fan here at Fantasy Baseball Weekly of beards. We have beards. We play beards. We
what
beards,
about
we beards.
Hold on, Chris? I respect you so much.
Okay.
What about if I was to do it based on like hat positioning on their head, like the guys that wear their hat a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right? I like
right.
those guys.
Right. No, left and right is not good, but flat brimmed. Always means success.
Okay, bet on the flat prim.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much. It really means a lot.
Yeah, no problem. Please don't come back. Are there any other questions from the crowd?
I got one back here for you.
Oh, all right. Again, yeah. We are in Boston, so this, I can hear the tone. But again, if we can get a name.
I'm actually from Jersey and completely insulted. But,
oh, wow.
Thank
was,
you for that.
Interesting. My bad.
My name is...
That's a dick move!
My name is Gertrude Korn, proud mother of Benjamin. Don't know if you've heard of him, but I do have a very poignant question. Justin Verlander, Kate Upton, has she ruined him? Is he done?
Yes, I do feel like Verlander was ruined. Anytime you hook up, have sex with, ask to marry, get denied on that marriage proposal
multiple times
of a supermodel that's 10 years younger than you, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle with life. So, yeah, he lost some of velocity. He lost the ability to get an erection. And, yes, I don't think Justin Verlander will ever be the same. Is there anyone else?
Yes, Chris. Ben Korn, Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Yes, thank you. A professional, finally.
I don't know who gets brought into these classrooms, but this is getting
I'm pretty
ridiculous.
Sure you're the bouncer, and you let these people in.
I mean, I got confused because I thought that was my mother, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think that was my mother. Is there a cheap play in Daily Fantasy? I know Melissa kind of talked about it a little bit, but I'm looking for somebody. Like, I love to play a good Josh Donaldson or a Mike Trout. Who can I play? I know you keep talking about Melky Cabrera. Is that somebody you think I can get on the cheap?
Melky has been rising recently. I really like Tyler Saladino in the Chicago White Sox. He's been very cheap. He's third base and shortstop eligible.
I think we had one more question from
the
back.
Yes, do we have one more question?
I think he's turned off by this whole process.
All right. Well, it's been another great classroom. I hope that everyone can analyze Fangraphs. And most importantly, I'm really glad Robert wasn't here, right? He was a freaky dude.
Chris!
Nope. We're going to cut it off. You cannot bouncer. Keep him out of here. It's over.
Hey, guys. It's Franny. How do you start your day? Because I start mine with some coffee and Fantasy Baseball Weekly.
Ben Zobrist with two home runs today for the Kansas City Royals. I tell you what, Chris. We haven't talked about Ben Zobrist much this season, but Ben Zobrist, my name brother, I think he's found a home here with the Kansas City Royals, kid.
Ben, you've been big on the soft openings to our segments here. It's so soft that I don't know when we're rolling. you just start talking, and I have to realize that we're recording all of a sudden. So,
Sorry, dude. I know you're busy doing some work over there. You know,
looking at Facebook, really working hard. No, Ben Zobrist, you know, he's sort of a statistician's dream, but I don't really understand his big advantage. His numbers aren't that great. I guess it's nice that he can play multiple positions. But aside from that, you know, the Royals get a utility man once Alex Gordon comes back.
You know, I don't know why you're not jumping on the Ben Zobrist train. I mean, hello, Alex Gordon. He's playing for Alex Gordon while Alex Gordon's hurt. He can go and play second base because they have the worst second baseman in the league that statistically plays every day. It's like the Royals need this utility man. And then he hits two home runs today.
Okay, that's great. But I know you want to bash Omar Infante. Yes, he's an upgrade over Omar Infante.
Yeah.
But look, Ben Zobrist batting .260 this year. Yes, he has an OBP of .348. That's good.
Yeah.
Six homers, one steal. Like, he's just a below-average player. I don't know why people love him so much.
Eight home runs now. He had two today.
Sure, okay.
He's going to be an above-average player with the Royals because he's playing with my boy, Ventura.
Still nothing special, but he's a Royals type of player. I'll give you that.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So we continue with Blockbuster Trades Part 2. And in this segment of the Blockbuster Trades, we get into some good ones. My favorite trade of the whole, you know, week-long...
The gamut, we'll call it.
Gamut. Troy Tulowitzki going to the Toronto Blue Jays. Hitting a home run in his first game with the Jays. I think it was kind of sad the way it ended with the Rockies. I think I would make a case that Jose Reyes might fit in better with the Rockies. I think I might be the only person that can do that.
Yeah, they already have a leadoff guy. What do they need Reyes? They have Charlie Blackman. He's a great leadoff guy.
Yeah, but they need more speed. What I really enjoyed watching when the first game that Jose Reyes played with the Rockies, it was Charlie Blackman on second, Jose Reyes on first, and literally Charlie Blackman stole second, then he stole third, Reyes stole second, and they both scored. You know, having those two guys that are stealing bases, maybe Blackman gets out, Jose Reyes gets on. It's like a little 1-2 punch.
Honestly, I love this trade for the Rockies. They get Jeff Hoffman, who's a very promising pitcher. They get a couple other prospects.
So you agree with me.
And
I love the Reyes part of it.
Because they don't need Tulo right now, and this is going to save the Rockies money in the long run. But then I guess I also love the Blue Jays because, yeah, they just get crazy more power, even though it's all right-handed power. That hurts you a little bit. The right-hander is going to kill them in the playoffs.
But yeah, it's just a good trade all around for everybody. I think the Blue Jays gave up too much, in my opinion, but that's, you know.
Well, it helps that Carlos Gonzalez hit 8 home runs in the last 14 days.
Yes,
so they're like, we don't need Troy Tulowitzki anymore. He doesn't even hit home runs. We don't need this guy.
No, the Blue Jays went crazy here. They also acquired David Price from Detroit. They gave up Daniel Norris for that, another young promising
pitcher. Daniel Norris is a good kid.
Top 25 prospect.
I mean, pitched a little bit this year, wasn't as successful as they wanted him to be, but I think he would have been huge for him next year.
Yeah, that I don't love just because it's a 3-month rental that they gave that up for. That's rough. Unless they expect to re-sign David Price, which I don't know that anyone wants to live in Canada.
Yeah,
so.
Except for me. I kind of like Montreal. I've never been to Toronto, though.
I've heard heard dirty things about Montreal.
Just a quick jump in here, Chris.
Sure.
You talked about the New York Yankees getting a pitcher. I think you're talking about Luis Severino.
Well, that is a prospect of theirs coming.
Yeah,
and but that's not he will pitch in the majors. That's more of a breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news. He's making his start against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Ooh, nice soft landing for your first start. Yeah, no, he's a top 20 prospect. He'll be good, but you know, we'll see. As we've seen with Eduardo Rodriguez, these top prospects pitching.
Kill it.
Eduardo Rodriguez. It can be an up and down road. Is where I was going with that one.
Ben Revere, another addition to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Weird. That's a weird one.
That's a strange one. I like that they added some speed. You know, Devin Travis at one point in the season was getting steals, not getting many steals. Losing Reyes, you need to add a little bit of speed to the base path. So maybe Ben Revere will help with that. But
well, I agree. You want to add speed, so you'd think that Ben Revere would lead off.
They like Josh Donaldson leading
off. But second they come out and make this trade, they say, no, Ben Revere will be our fourth outfielder. He's going to sit against lefties, and he's going to bat ninth. Like, what?
That sounds pretty rough.
That takes away all of Ben Revere's value, so I don't really understand that one. But they've got some depth. They're just going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I would make the case right now that the Toronto Blue Jays, even though they're 6 games out of the American League East, are the team to watch.
Team to watch? And no, they're the best team in the AL. I don't think there's any question. It just, will that relate to wins? Doesn't always.
Well, the Royals beat them today, and they scored 6 runs.
Because, yeah, on paper, or record-wise, the Royals are the best team in the AL, which, you know, doesn't make sense if you look at the lineup. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Well, I mean, I think what we've learned from this episode is that just because you have beast modes playing on your team doesn't mean that you're going to be a good team.
Right. The Nationals. The Nationals will attest to that year after year.
Of Padres. Losing. Mm. The Royals actually have a team. The Cardinals actually have a team. So watch out for the Midwest.
There you go.
Kind of killing it. Johnny Papelbon, talk about the Nationals. He's now their closer over there.
Right.
That's an interesting move. I mean, Drew Storen was doing a good job.
Similar to Tulo, a very disgruntled player that needed to get out of his current town. Yeah, Johnny Papelbon gets traded. Now, it's interesting because basically Papelbon had a no-trade clause, which he waived because they picked up the last year of John's contract, but also guaranteed that he would be the closer. Now, I don't know how that works. What if he's pitched for 3 days in a row? What if he blows 5 saves in a row? Can they move him
out of
the closer
role? Seems like a weird guarantee, yeah.
Especially when you have a guy, Drew Storen, who was, you know, one of the top 10 relievers this year already, so... could be a little bit of angst in that bullpen, just some hatred. We'll see how those two work together. But on paper, yes, it looks great. It's just another dominant relief pitcher, which tends to be the theme that the Royals have created from last year.
Well, and it's interesting. You know, you talk about the Blue Jays keep adding hitting, and they're easily the number one hitting team. And then you have the Nationals adding more pitching, even though they're easily the number one pitching team. Mm-hmm. You know, seeing that with even the Dodgers adding a ton of pitching, even though they have 3 guys that are just killing it over there. Is this smart to keep with the pitching instead of focusing on having somebody else there for Bryce Harper?
I would say it is just because pitching is more volatile. I've seen Strasburg go down. You know, we started the season saying the Nationals are the best starting rotation, but then Strasburg goes down. Doug Fister kind of sucks. All of a sudden, Gio kind of sucks.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, are they
it.
The best starting rotation in the league? I don't think so right now.
So you just want depth to get you to the playoffs, and I think that's what these teams are doing.
And Yoenis Cespedes going to the Mets. Cespedes seems really excited to be going to New York. Mets finally get a bat, but I think your opinion on this is that it's not what the Mets needed to be successful.
Yeah, so, and I'll be frank, I'm totally stealing this from MLB Network.
Yay!
But when this trade went down, I forget who it was that said, basically the Mets are the second lowest OBP team in the league, and Yoenis Cespedes will only contribute.
Bring that lower?
Yeah, it will only hurt it. He didn't have a single walk in all of July or all of June, so they're just going to continue to not walk, but they obviously tried to get a bat with Carlos Gomez. It didn't work out, so I think they just wanted to get something, and they did. Yoenis is solid. It's just not necessarily the strength that they necessarily needed, but I still think they needed a bat and they got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Mets were just trying to prove to Mets fans that they're making an effort.
Yes.
You know, that's why they, oh yeah, we got Carlos Gomez. No, we don't actually have Carlos Gomez. We were just trying to keep people off of our back. And then when that rumor came out that they just did that, they're like, okay, let's just bring Cespedes. He gets traded for minimal prospects. Let's just bring Cespedes over.
And look for this to help Lucas Duda, who now has some right-handed protection behind him, likely behind him in the lineup. That's good, because they were a little bit too lefty-heavy, the Mets were.
And now it's time for 30 Seconds with a Homer.
Today we welcome Mike Stammer from the south side of Chicago. Looks like your bats are finally starting to hit.
Bo Jackson.
Bo has been an ambassador for the White Sox for the last few years, along with Frank Thomas. But I think it has a little bit more to do with the players on the field than Bo Jackson.
Look, if you don't think Bo Jackson has something to do with this resurgence in our offense, I don't think I want to talk to you anymore.
Let's just say that Adam Eaton and Melky Cabrera have done a little more for this team than Bo Jackson.
Let's just say you suck.
Hey, it's Chris Welter. Don't tell Ben, but I took over Fantasy Baseball Weekly online. For the latest news and streaming pitchers, hit us up on Twitter at @FantasyBBWeekly. Now, let's get back to the show.
It's our favorite time of the episode. Ben Korn, Chris Welter. Let's...
Ben, that was not a soft opening. That was very hard.
Really?
Very hard opening.
I thought we'd been practicing the soft opening.
It was aggressive. It was loud.
I mean, when it comes to tracking Chris and Ben, it's...
It gets me hard.
Be aggressive. It's got to get you hard.
It's getting me hard.
So let's dive right into your hardness here.
Oh, boy.
And talk about Chris Welter and tracking Chris. You had a really nice week. I'm not going to lie to you.
Thank you.
I don't like it when you have a good week, but you did.
The listeners like it.
Yeah, they like it because they maybe picked up some of these guys and it paid dividends for them. Let's start with your pitching. You went with Ian Kennedy of the Padres.
Two starts.
Could have been traded. Did not. A 2.08 earned run average, a 1.08 whip, two quality starts, 12 Ks. I would have liked him to get two wins.
Ah, come on now.
But he only got one. That's still reputable. I'll allow it.
The bullpen blew up on him last night, all right?
It happens. Randall Grichuk, 313, two runs, two doubles. He performed much better for you than he did for me.
Right, that's right.
Roofnet Odor dropped off a little bit, but still continues to have a little bit of power. Two home runs, five runs, four RBIs, a 269 average. You can't complain about that if you're an Odor fantasy owner. And the guy that Chris Welter has said, if you don't have Melky Cabrera, you are missing out on the world.
I think he's still only 72% owned in Yahoo. He should be 100% owned. Go get him, people.
So he killed it. 484, seven runs, seven RBIs, six doubles last week. That's an A-plus performance from Melky Cabrera. Well, A, he didn't have a bunch of home runs. So we'll just say an A. But a bunch of two-hit games, very impressive. Overall, I think I have to give you an A-.
Ooh.
Does that sound right?
I would like higher, but I'll take anything the A range.
You know, I wanted to give you higher, but I just have to go A minus.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
If you had two wins.
I'll keep that in mind when I'm grading your term paper here. How'd you do last week, Ben? Now, I will admit,
right.
You went, and we said this last week, you went a little bit deeper than I did.
Yep.
Your players were a little more obscure. And we'll start off that obscureness with Jeff Rancor.
Hey.
Now, he did go 3-for-8 with one double.
That's like 4-something.
But he only played 2 games.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. Yeah, like I saw his double. He played early on the week. He must have been, I think maybe he's, I don't know.
Well, you sound just like the Phillies management.
I don't know why he's not there.
I'm going to
not
say he's not there. Gregory Polanco, who I think went out yesterday with an injury or 2 days ago. But he...
What? I just picked him up!
Holy crap. Oh, my God. That was frightening. Again, well, I guess we're past the opening, but you got hard again.
It's my birthday.
So, Gregory Polanco. 261, 1 stolen base, 5 runs, 4 RBIs, 3 doubles. Solid performance. Solid performance. Your all-star of the week, though. Jung Ho, and I haven't corrected you till now, Gong.
Yeah, it is weird that it's Gong.
His last name is
Gong.
Spelled like Kang.
Yeah, but I like more of a Kong.
Yeah, Jung Ho Gong.
Which Jung Ho actually was the second most picked up player on Yahoo Leagues yesterday.
I believe it because he's been hitting for average all season, but the power has finally started showing up, and you picked the right week to pick him. Last week, he was 429, 2 home runs, 5 runs, 3 doubles.
Yeah, he helped me get past old Jeff Beard White.
That's a great week. That's actually somehow better than Melky's week because he's got the power. And the old Lone Star Ranger, Colby Lewis.
You didn't have faith. I did.
Which we talked about his surprising stats last week. Where
he's my boy, Colby Lewis.
Had 10 out of 11 straight quality starts. He continued it this week.
11 out of 12.
With only giving up 2 earned runs. ERA was 3. 1.17 whip. Got the win. And 5 Ks. So, you know, I want to give you an A, Ben. The problem is...
You think you did better than me.
I know I did better than you, and you left me no room here, so I have to give you a B+.
All right, I'll allow it. I think we really need to earn these A pluses. Like, granted, even though we're not playing Mike Trout, and we're not starting,
that's
the elite of the elite. That's why
you grade differently than I do.
Yeah.
Because we're picking
people. But I'll agree that you did better than me, so I accept my B+.
We're picking people here that, frankly, have failed most of the year, so...
Good point.
These
are people that tend to be free agents.
But anyway, we don't need to get the idiosyncrasies
of tracking. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's move on to next week, Ben.
I think you should say yours first.
Oh, sure. Okay.
This is the most important thing we can do for our listeners. We are tracking Chris.
I went with... Oh, you know what? Sorry, I'm realizing I screwed up and I don't have a pitcher, so we're just going to roll with it. My first pick is Eddie Rosario, second base and outfield eligible for the Twins. He's batted .302 the last 14 days. Out of the Crypt Keeper, Michael Bourne. Yeah, remember that guy?
Yeah, I saw that he was starting to turn it on, but I was like, no, Michael Bourne.
I like him. He's finally healthy. Last 14 days, he's batting close to .400 with 4 stolen bases. And lastly, Dominic Brown. Now, this one's very obscure, but he has 2 home runs in his last 2 games, and the only reason I'm picking him is in 2013, he hit 11 home runs in 15 games.
So he can get hot.
I'm wondering if he's about to get hot again. So give me Dominic Brown, and why don't you go, Ben, and I'm going to pick a quick starting pitcher.
Oh, so you're going to find a pitcher for us.
I'm going to figure it out.
So what I was thinking is that you suck, number one.
Well, I got an A-, so who sucks now?
This week I'm going with Francisco Lindor, rookie for the Indians. The Indians are really going to need him after they took a crapper at the trade deadline. Lindor's been picking it up with the absence of those guys. He's
with some
safe
power, too, yeah. Which is surprising.
2 home runs in the last 14 days. Hit safely in 7 of his last 8 games. We're finally starting to see some nice things from the youngin, Francisco Lindor. Aaron Hicks also hitting well. Aaron Hicks has also been getting tons of runs. So multiple hits in 5 of the last 6 games. Somebody that you should probably look into picking up for reals. Austin Jackson, I like his matchups this week as he's got 3 at Coors Field, and he's hit safely in 6 of his last 7. He's old as shit, but still plays the game, still hits leadoff for the Mariners, so I'm into that action. And Andrew Heaney, 5 straight wins. You know how much I like the old
W. He looks
W.
very good right now, yeah.
And he has Baltimore at home this week, so I don't know. It's a weird group of guys, but for some reason, I think they might be successful out there.
No, I like you. You got some good picks. And just to update, I have a pitcher. I'm going to go with Chris Tillman.
Oh, boy.
I'm stealing this from my two-star pitcher choices here. Chris Tillman is at Oakland and at the Angels, but he is a notorious second-half performer, and he's showing it again this year. He's pitched very well since the All-Star break.
All right, I guess I'll allow that. Since you're talking about two-star pitchers, who do you got?
Right, so Chris Tillman is at the top of my list, at Oakland, at L.A. You'll love this, Ben. Colby Lewis is a two-star pitcher.
You're starting to jump on the Lewis bandwagon.
I'm not all in.
No,
I've got like a couple toes in.
Okay.
Versus Houston, but the water's really cold, so I'm a little scared to go in. Versus Houston, I was just going to keep that analogy going as long as possible.
I like it when you do that.
Versus Houston and at Seattle, and again, if you forgot who I'm talking about, it's Colby Lewis. Jimmy Nelson is versus San Diego and versus St. Louis. Jimmy has been hot lately, and long time since you've had a Cy Young, Justin Verlander.
Oh, wow. You're putting Justin Verlander on the two-star?
He went 8 innings of shutout baseball in his most recent start, and he is versus Kansas City and versus Boston.
I like the Boston start. I don't know about the Kansas City for Verlander, but I might stream him. So, Chris, I don't know if you've heard about this kid named Kurt Casale.
No.
So Kurt Casale is killing it right now. He's somebody that should be on your radar if you are anybody of anybody.
What are we doing? Is this on our rundown? Where are we? As far as I can tell, the show is over right now.
No, so I was just giving people some names that maybe didn't make the trackings that could be interesting.
Gotcha. Okay.
I thought about picking up Kurt Casale because he's a catcher. Mm-hmm. And you've tried to do a tracking, Chris, of catchers. It's not easy.
Yes, yeah, that was a failure.
Kurt Casale has hit 5 home runs in the last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
What team is he on again?
He's on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Wow, okay.
He's also batting .333 and only 7 RBIs in those 5 home runs. So of his 7 hits, he's had 5 home runs. So I don't know what it means for Kurt Casale. I can't guarantee that the guy is going to play much moving forward.
Hey,
but 5 home runs.
A guy with similar numbers recently, Lucas Duda, his last 6 hits are home runs.
Yeah, Lucas Duda leads the league in home runs in the last week with 6 home runs, and most of them are solo, and he's 6 of 21, so you are correct. Every hit last week was a home run.
Are you fact-checking me, Ben?
In fact, I'm just making sure.
I'm on point.
Another interesting catcher that I really like that I would recommend, only 4% owned, is Wellington Castillo. Kid on the Arizona Diamondbacks, a catcher. He's hit 4 home runs of his 6 hits. So he also is not getting a ton of time, but when he's up there, he's rocking recently. And a guy that you love, Michael Taylor.
Hey, my boy.
3 home runs in the past week, so he's starting to get hot.
The only worry there is Denard Span is due back, and Taylor will be a bench player at that point.
And then for doubles, you got Melky Cabrera. We heard his 6 doubles last week. Carlos Sanchez, another Chicago White Sox, with 5 doubles in the last week. He's only 2% owned, so maybe he should be on your radar. Chris Young had 7 hits last week and 4 were doubles.
He's a streaky player.
So he's starting to do a little bit of something. He batted .412 last week. So overall, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are doing really well that aren't very well owned. Aaron Hicks was actually the 6th best batter in Yahoo leagues. That's why I kind of put him on my tracking, because I was like, wait a minute, Aaron Hicks is out of control. And if we were to look at best pitchers in the last week, it's the usual suspects. It's the Cole Hamels, Sonny Gray, Noah Syndergaard, Danny Salazar, Taijuan Walker, basically everybody that you have on your fantasy team.
And yet I'm losing to you miserably.
That's why I'm a great manager.
Luck? Because you're lucky?
I'm pretty sure it's a great manager. I actually wanted to contact somebody in our league that's on the bottom, and I wanted to say, hey, let me manage your team, and I will make you a playoff team. Would you pay me money if I took over a team and took them to the playoffs?
That's risky. It's because you taking your balls and throwing them right onto the table.
Yeah. No, I want to do that because I was going to call up Beard and be like, Beard, you have an amazing team. You're sitting in like 10th place right now.
Yeah.
I think I can lead you to a title. Because I don't think I have that good of a team. I just think I'm amazing. It's all about me. Chris Walter.
I mean, you are amazing.
Thank you.
But your fantasy skills are subpar.
I mean, it's my birthday. You didn't have to... Just say I'm amazing. Sorry. It's my birthday.
I said you're amazing.
So that's an episode. Thank you so much for joining
again,
us.
Again, not your fantasy skills.
I mean, my fantasy skills are really good, okay? Damn it! Now I have to sing us out. Thank you so much for shipping up to Boston. Thank you for shipping. Welcome to the party. The party begins. Thank you for shipping up to Boston.